This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Oh, it is that time of night here on BFM 89.9. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline Chung.
I'm David Bury.
And in the studio this evening is a man who's clearly lost his way on the way to the football show. It is Matt Bellotti.
Good evening.
Hello, sir.
I think you're here on the wrong day.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
I just want to apologise if anyone does tune in and hear the voice and think, oh God, I've got that blooming football show, that idiot's going on again. Where's that lovely time of night show that I enjoy so much? Then I apologise to them very much.
I mean, I was
thinking, great pleasure to be here.
Thank you very much for coming. But I mean, I was thinking back earlier today when the first time that I actually physically met you, I think was at Sid's Pub.
Right.
A long time ago. Five years ago.
Yeah, that rings a bell.
And I think you first got in touch with me via Twitter, in fact, because I'd posted something along the lines of Matt Saleh, and then you were like, no, I'm the real Matt Saleh. right. So that's how it all started, right?
That's right. Yeah, well, I guess I've been using the name because obviously being called Matt, I own it far better than you do.
You do, clearly.
Not that we need to get possessive or anything. But I've got to call myself Matt Saleh since we were doing the first Time Out comedy show, which is about 8.5 years ago now.
It's a while ago, that,
amazing,
right?
Amazing. Stuff.
Yeah. How long have you been here now then?
Crikey, do you know last week was my 10-year anniversary
in
Malaysia.
Wow.
So that's very nice. Yeah, lovely anniversary to have. Yeah.
I mean, not too long ago, me and my girlfriend were sat around thinking, you know, do we want to stay in Malaysia? You know, is this where we should be right now? Yeah. I mean, we're at my sixth or almost seventh year. How often do you get that thought?
Yet to have, really, to be honest.
Yeah.
No, it's been really exciting work-wise. We've been very busy doing lots of new launches and stuff. And it's nice. Both of our kids are born here. We came out initially... I think my boss had said to us, look, see how you go for 4 months.
Right.
And then at the end of that time, it was, stay on, maybe 2 to 4 years. Give us 2 to 4 years and see how we go. And that was the conversation. And it's 10 years now, and both the kids are born here, and it's quite nice. My wife's Australian, and of course, we have these two tiny little blonde, whitey little children. And yet you hear people say, oh, where are you from? And they'll say, well, we're Malaysian. And that's really nice.
Right. What initially brought you here, though? I mean,
work, yes. Actually, my wife and I were looking to move to Australia, and we'd made plans and all the rest to kind of set up a home there. And then it was, we were offered a chance to work in the Mongoose HQ in Asia.
Right.
Neither of us had ever been to Asia before, let alone worked here. And I'd sort of said, oh, look, it's nice. My wife's lived away from home, though, for 5 years, so she probably won't go for it. Went home that night, asked her, well, it's been funnily enough, I've been offered something in Kuala Lumpur, of all places. And she went, great, let's go for it. And so we sort of came in and gave it a go, and it's tremendous fun.
Right. I mean, comedy stuff you're doing, you know.
That was really funny. Yeah, I mean, Mongoose has expanded. When I came out 10 years ago, there were 9 of us in the office. We now have over 100 staff.
Wow.
And 6 flagship titles and everything. It's really, really exciting times for us. Mm-hmm. I guess it was about 8.5 years ago or so that we launched Time Out. And when we started that, we wanted to do something more in the city, not just writing about events that are going on, but do something ourselves. It occurred to me, I was a big fan of comedy in London, that there wasn't a regular stand-up comedy night. Mm. Now, the tiny little nights we used to go to in London had about 10 or 20 people in an upstairs of a pub, and I thought, but we can put that on, that's no problem, and I don't mind making an idiot of myself hosting a bit. And we found a handful of guys that could do sets and started out and put the show on, creating a platform for them more than anything. Mm. And over time it's just grown and snowballed, and we get a few hundred every show.
It's taken off,
and a lot of the acts they're on the show, they're fantastic.
Over the last few months, every Monday obviously we have a comedian in the show, and we're just talking to them, and they're so excited now that it seems to have kind of taken root. You know, whereas before, like you say, it was a very small thing, but now it's really, really growing.
Yeah, I mean, there's a difference between building a show or building a platform and building a scene. And what these guys have done is built an amazing scene.
Yeah,
you know, they've
got,
and it's great. I mean, things like the Crack House is a phenomenal thing to have. A permanent comedy club in Malaysia is a great asset.
How often do you perform at a comedy Crack House? Yeah.
I haven't performed at Crack House. That's kind of I usually just host the Time Out show. Maybe slightly busy, and to be honest,
I think that was the first time I've seen you perform at Zouk. Jalan Pang back then, it was Comedy Time Out, I think.
That's right, yeah. So Time Out, every first Thursday of the month, we always do the comedy show at Time Out, and that's been going for a long, long time now. And I'll usually host, I probably host maybe every other month at the moment.
Are you guys still doing it?
Yeah. Sorry, is it because of cheap labour?
they pay me even less than they pay me for the football show on here, to be honest, so it's terrible.
But are you guys still doing the comedy shows at the new Zouk right now?
No, we are now at Mango's on Changkat, so we get quite a good audience off the street in Changkat, and we're there for the moment, so it's yeah, fingers crossed it's gone very well. Mm-hmm.
So besides that, I mean, the magazine industry is not going very well for everyone in the world. How do you cope with that?
Look, it's changing. For us, we're doing pretty well. I also sit on the committee of the Magazine Publishers Association here. I met with them last month, and they were reporting this year that copy sales are down between 20 and 50% for a lot of magazines. We haven't seen that. Ours are very, very stable, and I think what we've done is we've been very successful or fortunate, whichever way you want to put it, in working with brands that are very well respected. So if you look at Elle, Esquire, right. Men's Health, mm-hmm. Women's right. Health, yeah. Time Out, amazing brands, and Expatriate Lifestyle our own as well. They've been very consistent. So on a business level, that's good because it's still stable. And what we've been able to do is to develop an awful lot of digital success. So Time Out, for example, has we just announced today, last month we got 2.2 million page views last month, which
wow.
is
wow.
I mean, it's just an amazing number. And when you can do that, you can go to market and brands want to work with you. There's great activation, great engagement. They think about where you want to eat. Time Out's one of the first things that come to mind.
So. Yeah. It is. Yeah. I mean, but how difficult is it for you when you're overseeing these kind of things for you to come up with brand new ideas about what you want to see the content wise?
Well, to be brutally honest, I have an amazing team around me, yeah, so it's not so much myself. We have some great editors and great platforms, and it is constantly being aware of what's going on in the industry, but being digitally relevant. For us, it's about growing the audience, which we've been able to do this year.
All right. Okay.
Yes, so we're giving away My Burger Lab vouchers today. Now, 3 My Burger Lab vouchers, all thanks to My Burger Lab. If you want to win these vouchers, all you have to do is just answer this question. Not too long ago, a hamburger was produced called Glam Burger, reportedly the world's most expensive burger. Now, how much did it cost in US dollars? Now, send your name and your IC number to 016-201-9000. Don't forget to tell us what is of the win as well.
It was an awful lot. I can tell you that.
I know. Google, I have the answers right here.
Google is your friend, my friends. Okay, we have to take some advertisements right now. Then we're going to move on to some Arctic Monkeys. We'll be right back with Matt here on That Time of Night on BFM 89.9. You're listening to That Time of Night here on BFM 89.9. I'm Rich Bradbury.
Now, Madeline Chung.
I'm David Bury.
And we have...
Good evening, I'm Matt Bellotti.
There he is, it's Matt Bellotti. So that was a little bit of Arabella by the Arctic Monkeys. We are giving away burgers this evening, folks.
Yes, we
Big,
are.
Big, fat, juicy burgers.
Yes, indeed. We are giving away 3 burger vouchers, and each voucher gives you 2 burgers. Good deal, right, Richard?
It's a pretty good deal.
Yes, all thanks to My Burger Lab. And
My
if you
Burger
want...
Lab.
We have a new jingle.
Oh, yes, yes. We complained yesterday because we give away another product on a Monday, and they have a specific jingle, and we complained at David that we don't have a jingle. So
we have one for Domino's, but we do not have one for the B and My Burger Lab.
I made one for the B.
Yes, and now...
The B.
That was
And what
so
about
good.
My Burger Lab? What
my
do you have?
My Burger Lab!
Okay, now, if you want to win My Burger Lab vouchers, all you have to do is just answer this question. Now, not too long ago, a hamburger was produced called Glam Burger. Reportedly the world's most expensive burger. Now, how much does it cost in US dollars? Send your name and your IC number to 016-201-9000. Don't forget to tell us what is up to win as well.
My Burger Lab.
If you want to get in touch via Twitter, we're at BFM Radio or at BFM TTON. You can also find us on Facebook, as some of you clearly already have.
Oh, Mr. Peter Tan Tan.
What did he say?
He said... David and Goliath.
Yeah, you should probably check out.
I do feel like a midget next
to
you.
Check out how tall Matt Bellotti is on our Instagram at BFMTTON or That Time of Night on BFM 89.9 on our Facebook page.
There you go. So today's quite a special day, Matt, you know, for us.
Why?
Okay.
Back in the UK at least, anyway.
Oh, sorry, for us in the British sense.
In the British sense,
of course.
Yes.
Sorry, yes. We should stand up and salute when we say this.
It is, of course. That poor young lady who's been sat there for 63 years, you know.
I know.
Becoming the longest reigning monarch in the UK.
Oh, the Queen.
The Queen, yes.
Is that what you're talking about?
Madge.
Yes.
Queen Elizabeth II.
Yes, indeed.
Oh.
She's been sat there drinking a cup of tea.
The longest monarch.
The longest serving monarch.
Yeah, in about 5 or 6 hours, she will become that, unless something unnecessary happens to between now, which I don't want to tempt fate, obviously, if you're listening, Your Majesty.
Do you want to sing the national anthem?
Maybe I should have lined that up, actually.
So before this, who was the longest serving
monarch? Queen Victoria.
Yeah. Mm.
That's from which age? Sorry, I don't know anything.
So she died in 1901.
Oh, okay. All right. right. That's all quite right. cool.
It is, yeah. yeah. Right, yeah. 63
It's
years.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And what's quite nice is that she's the Elizabeth II is not doing anything special to mark the day. She considers it a regular day. She's really quite a cool queen. And I'm not a massive monarchist by any means, but she's a very cool lady. She's very right about her protocol. She doesn't want anything to be about her. She's always very much someone that keeps things private. And she does talk to her prime minister, but she certainly doesn't try to influence them in undue ways. And I wonder whether her son will be quite the same. It seems unlikely.
Those meetings that she has with the prime ministers, it's like on a weekly basis.
Yeah, every week. Yeah,
I'd love to be a fly on the wall in some of those things.
Absolutely.
You know? What are you doing? You know, what are you doing right now? You know, it must be something like that, right? What I wanted to get to, Matt, is before you did this whole coming to Malaysia thing, you were traveling around Europe for quite a while, right? From what I understand.
Yeah, a few weeks. Yeah, about a couple of months or so.
All right. Where did you go?
Oh, all over. So we did. It was quite nice being in London, living with an Australian wife, because she wanted to see the whole of Europe, and British people are generally pretty useless at travelling.
Right.
Even though Europe is on your doorstep, you don't really go anywhere. We have friends of ours that lived an hour from London and had never been.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so we were in London, so we'd done a lot of weekends all over the place. But what we then did, we hopped on a bus and then we went around from London down to Paris and then all the way up through, Belgium, Holland, Germany, Hungary, Austria. This isn't an order, by the way. I've just worked out my geography's gone all wrong. And then down through Italy, back up south of France, Spain, and back up through to Paris as well. And it was very, very cool. Living out of a backpack and doing that whole thing was good fun.
And now that you're in Asia, of course, and it's relatively cheap to get around.
Yes.
You know, you must have been all over the place as well.
Yeah, I've been to quite a few places. And then the kids showed up and we started going to the same sort of places and places with kids clubs specifically. So,
right.
It must be very difficult for you to actually go back home nowadays. I mean, with the currency being very high.
Yeah, we just did a trip to the UK this summer, and thankfully we had a little bit of money there that we could use,
right.
Mm-hmm. Because you don't really want to be bringing over the ringgit at the moment.
Mm. It's so bad.
But
right
since
now.
You have been in KL for about 10 years now, right? I mean, how often do you travel around Malaysia?
Yeah, quite a lot. We do that a lot. I don't tend to go back to the UK much. I think this summer was only the third time in 10 years that we've actually made it back there. Obviously Malaysia's just got tons of places to visit that are amazing. So we've done a lot of, we do Penang quite a lot, Langkawi many times, and down through Singapore. We have an office in Singapore as well, so I can kind of combine travel with work there. There's no shortage of places.
Richard, how long have you not gone home?
Almost 2 years. In fact, no, I went home this time last year, almost a year ago.
Not too long ago.
Two things, slightly depressing. I used to work in a pub, and it's very nice, a lovely part of south of England. But I used to work in there, and now you go into the pub 10, 12 years on from when you worked there, and the same people will be sat in the same chairs having the exact same conversation.
Exactly.
And you really
discussion.
Feel like, wow, I actually live in Kuala Lumpur.
Right.
We have stuff going on here.
Right.
Let me talk to you about a guy called Najib. And then there's this wonderful, and it's fun. There's all these stories that they have no idea about.
Exactly. I mean, literally, I had the very same conversation with my brother when I went home last year. We went to our local bar, and we walked in, and the same old fella who's always sat in the corner was still sat there. And I'm like, have they actually moved him yet? We had to poke him to find out if he was mummified or not.
But to be honest, something like that actually makes me feel better, because my hometown Miri has been developing a lot over the years, so it's changed quite tremendously, and it's kind of sad.
Didn't you say you actually got a flyover now as well in
Yes,
Miri?
We have a flyover. It's been there for a few years.
Right.
But, you know, it's all of these things, all of these constructions and, you know, stores closing down, other stores opening up. You're kind of like, why? I miss my old hometown. Mm-hmm. That old hometown you go to, so nothing happens.
Right.
You go to the same place, the same people are still there, you can have the same conversations. Great.
Right. Yeah. Okay, folks, we've got to move on a little bit. We have news from page two.
Extra, extra, beat all the fire.
What's all the shouting?
David, you're up first.
Am I?
You are. What have you
got? All right. So 2 5-year-old Russian boys were playing in their kindergarten.
Already like this story.
Right. It's in Russia and it's kids, right? They took a couple of spades and dug their way out of the play area and onto the streets.
What? Uh-huh. Is that prison break?
Wait. Okay.
And once they escaped, they started walking to a car showroom about a mile away because they wanted to buy a Jaguar.
What? Sorry, what? They're
Why
five.
Not?
They're five.
Why not? You got ambition, right?
Absolutely.
Good choice, of
absolutely.
Course.
Yeah. So wait, they dug their way out.
Yeah. They dug their way out. They started walking, but they didn't arrive.
Uh-huh.
So a lady saw them on the street and asked them, it's like, what are you guys doing? It's like, oh, we're going to go buy a Jaguar, but we have no money.
Right.
So the lady just took them into her car and sent them to the police station.
Aww.
So my question is, right, what kind of kindergarten is it where you give kids enough time
to dig their way out? You know? And the ambition to own a Jaguar as well at five.
Yeah, the ambition makes sense. I don't know why they have this ambition at five, but... it was playtime, I guess. It was like 30 minutes. How long does it take to dig a hole?
Right.
Yeah, I don't think it takes that long.
Kind of done. Okay, I have a story for you about a chess player, right? It's an Italian chess player who's been kicked out of the country's most prestigious tournament after allegedly using a camera and Morse code to cheat his way through. So officials at the tournament became suspicious when Arcangelo Ricciardi, who is ranked 51,366th in the world, began beating far better players. So apparently he was blinking in an unusual manner and holding his hand under his armpit like some kind of James Bond character. So he was confronted by the referee and he said, you know, can you just open your shirt? Let's have a look what you got in there. Absolutely refused to open his shirt. And they believe that he was using a camera hung around his neck to transmit the game to somebody else who had a chess computer program who was feeding back moves in Morse code to a device under his armpit. This is genius, right? It's not like he was going to win an awful lot of money, though. Mm-hmm. He's going to move up from 51,366th to 365, you know?
Yeah, that's quite a high jump, though.
One place.
Oh,
one place. He was going to move it by one place.
You said 365.
I missed out the 51,000.
Yeah, you missed out the 51,000. That's wrong.
It's a big detail.
You misrepresented the number.
All right. But this incident follows a pretty high-profile cheating case, funnily enough, in Moscow in April, where a chess grandmaster was expelled after he was discovered using a smartphone in the toilets to check his moves. Apparently what he'd done is he'd got his smartphone, and every time he went to the same toilet, he would wrap it in a piece of tissue and then throw it in the bin.
But how often can you actually go to a toilet
game? Right? Clearly, he must have been drinking vodka as he was playing his game. Once you've broken the seal, that's
and
it.
And if you're a judge, you wouldn't even allow them to actually leave the toilet every 10 minutes
it's
or
not
like
an exam,
15,
Adeline.
Right?
It's not an exam.
It's the real world.
Still.
You can still go out.
So imagine that, like being in a chess tournament and you tell the judge, like, I need to go to the bathroom. No.
No, but I mean, if you go out too often, I mean, it's going to be suspicious, right?
Right. It would have been niet.
Yeah.
Okay, we have to take a very short break. We've got some more advertisements coming right up. We've got a little bit of Flaming Lips here on That Time of Night on BFM 89.9. It is That Time of Night here on BFM 89.9. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Adeline Chung.
I'm David Bury.
And we have...
Matt Bellotti.
Right then, so we have a giveaway. We're giving away burgers from My Burger Lab.
My Burger Lab! And each voucher gives you two burgers. Now, if you want to win these vouchers, all you have to do is just answer this question. Now, not too long ago, a hamburger was produced called the Glam Burger, reportedly the world's most expensive burger. Now, how much did it cost in US dollars? Send your name and your IC number to 016-201-9000. Don't forget to tell us who deserves to win as well.
I know Jen Chia is listening, and I know she's laughing at the way I pronounce certain words. Don't give me a complex. It's hard enough as it is.
Hello, Jen.
Hi, okay,
Jen.
We have Matt Bellotti in the studio, of course. We're going to be asking him a whole bunch of questions on Smarty Pants. But first, we have two more news stories.
Yes.
One is from Adeline, and this is a wonderful story. Come on, tell us.
Okay, so this professional wrestler from Australia.
Again, already liking the stories.
Yeah. He joined a Japanese pop band featuring young teenage girls in costumes singing up-tempo music.
Now it's starting to sound wrong.
I know it's wrong. The band name is called Lady Baby.
Okay,
and he's the front man, and he named himself Lady Beard. Because he's got a lot of beard.
All right, go on.
So they have been touring all year, and this band, on the band's website, he describes himself as a 5-year-old girl, and he wears bright dresses and two impressive pigtails.
Mm-hmm.
And their video Nippon Manju, is called Nippon Manju, and it was on YouTube and since early July, and up to now they have about 7.5 million views.
Awful lot of views a man dressed as a 5-year-old.
You should watch the video.
He went to Japan
and
joined the band.
Yes, correct. They didn't mention why he did that, but
Maybe he stumbled down the wrong street.
Midlife crisis?
Nobody says it's kind of wrong to join a band with 14-year-old girls.
Dude, this is Japan we're talking about.
But still, it sounds completely wrong.
It does. I completely agree.
There's not one part of that story that isn't absolutely sensational. That is a brilliant story.
You should see the pictures, watch the video. You can actually see how he looks like, you know, with two ponytails, you know, with his blonde beard, blonde hair, mm-hmm. and his outfit, cross-dress outfit.
Does he sing?
Yes, he does.
He's a frontman, yeah.
He's a frontman, he does.
Is he a good singer?
You should watch the video. It's called Nippon Manju.
Right.
I feel like I'm part of Malaysian broadcasting history for probably the first and only use of the word lady beard in broadcasting history. So
I mean, the band has got Lady Baby, the name is of the frontman, Lady Beard.
All right, Matt, what have you got for us today?
We talked about comedy earlier, so I've got a comedy-themed story from the UK. Comedians are teaching vicars to do stand-up comedy to make sermons more entertaining. There are some very old British comedians, Cannon and Ball.
Oh, my word.
From the 80s, was it?
I didn't even know they were still alive.
Well, they are, and they're teaching vicars how to do comedy. So that's what you've got. And Don McLean from Cracker Jack. There's a TV show for you.
No.
Bobby Ball said, God wants us to have fun, laugh, and enjoy this wonderful life. there's a two-day conference going on at the NEC in Birmingham, and at the end of it, vicars will perform their gags to a live audience.
That's right. Awesome.
But there were two comedy shows featuring Vicar. We had The Vicar of Dibley, and what was the other
Father
one?
Father Ted was the best. Father Ted, amazing.
That's all they need to do.
Okay, I honestly tried watching Father Ted. Didn't understand it.
Oh, really? Seriously. Oh, that's a shame. Oh, it's a beautiful show.
I don't get it.
You didn't get it because of the accents or the comedy, the humor?
And the comedy, the humor. It was just too weird for me. It was too British.
Yeah, it's very, very
it's
British.
It's quite dry.
You know, my wife was laughing so hard when she was watching it, and I'm like, I don't get it.
Okay.
Right.
I want to see the jokes that they come out with from this, you know? So you've kind of like, knock, knock, who's there? Moses, well, can't you just part the door on your way in as you come into the room? I don't know. Anyway, we'll see.
Yeah, that's going to go down well. Yeah. All right then, Joshy the Poshy, who's saying, I've never heard the Flaming Lips on the radio before. You're very welcome. We'll play in again another time.
Joshy Washy.
Not Joshy Washy. This is Joshy the Poshy. Thank you very much for tweeting us. If you do want to tweet, you can get us at BFM Radio or at BFM TTON. If you want some free tasty burgers, 016-201-9000 is a number to remember. Answer this question.
Now, not too long ago, a hamburger was produced called the Glam Burger, reportedly the world's most expensive burger. Now, how much did it cost in US dollars? Send your name and your IC number to 016-201-9000. Don't forget to tell us what is up to win as well.
All right, Matt, it's come to that time of night where I'm going to give you some of this.
Smarty Pants.
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 You know the drill then by now, right?
Oh, dear. Okay.
3 minutes to answer as many questions as you possibly can. If you don't know the answer, say skip. Don't dawdle on a question. Just skip it if you don't know it, all right? Your 3 minutes start now. What is the Scottish word for lake?
Lock.
Little girls do it with a rope. Van Halen does it with a song. What is it?
Skip.
Well, kind of, but I can't give you that. Right. What does a US presidential candidate take before becoming a president?
Oath.
What is a type of engine and is also a type of a tomato cocktail juice? Oh, come on. He's sweating.
It's a terrible skip.
All right, what are the two digits that give James Bond the license to kill?
007. 007. 007.
Well, okay. Yeah. What puts the green in greenery? In the plants?
Oh, chlorophyll.
Correct. A, B, M, and P, and Z are all types of what?
Letters.
Tottenham Hotspur's football club was founded before Liverpool FC. True or false?
That is true.
In what century did the Pony Express operate in North America?
19th.
Deoxyribonucleic acid is more common.
DNA.
All right. Killers, sperms, and blue are all
whale.
Type. It is Latin for field and means college grounds. What is it?
Campus.
What are the 2 point values an ace has in blackjack?
1 and 11.
In which English Premier League season saw three London clubs finish in the top four for the first time?
2011-12?
9-10. Okay. Who was Dr. Seuss's egg-hatching elephant who was 100% faithful?
Horton?
How did you know that?
Yeah, kids.
Okay, what is made of 7,000 islands and is the only Far East country with a Roman Catholic majority?
Philippines.
Which planet in our solar system is not named after a Greek or Roman god?
Pluto? No. Oh, rubbish.
Sorry. What is the L in LPGA?
Ladies.
It has five letters. It is used by a carpenter, a sergeant, and a dentist. What is it?
Skip.
What river carries more water than the longest rivers of Asia, Africa, and North America combined?
Amazon?
André Villas-Boas is Spanish. True or false?
No, it's Portuguese.
Where's the headquarters of BMW located?
BMW Munich?
Yes. What is defaced by invading armies and crouches near the Great Pyramids?
Sphinx.
Abu Dhabi and Dubai are two of the seven states that make up this Middle Eastern federation.
UAE.
After length, width, and depth, what is the fourth dimension?
Breadth.
What do you call that shattering sound which accompanies breaking the sound barrier?
Skip. Sorry, I go really crossing myself.
Right. With scissors beats paper, paper beats what?
Stone.
Stone, rock, same thing. All right, we have to move to some advertisements, whatever you want to call them. Then we're going to have some music, and we'll be right back with Matt Bellotti here on BFM 89.9, That Time of Night. BFM 89.9, The Business Station. It is That Time of Night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline Chung.
I'm David Bury.
I'm Matt Bellotti.
Right, so just before the break, we were testing Matt on Smarty Pants. We're going to find out how well he did in just a few minutes. But first, we're going to give you another chance to win some of those burgers. We've got about 8 minutes left, so you can take part. 016-201-9000 and answer this question.
Now, not too long ago, a hamburger was produced called the Glam Burger, reportedly the world's most expensive burger. Now, how much did it cost in US dollars? Send your name and your IC number to 016-201-9000. Don't forget to tell us why you deserve to win as well.
My burger love.
People are already saying, I've had no response yet from the SMS messages. I take it I didn't get it. Well, if we've not responded, it means that the competition is still running, just to let you know.
Yes.
Okay, so before the break then, how well do you think you did?
Yeah, well, it's really silly ones that I didn't get that I'll be kicking myself. Uh-huh. So, yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, it's one of those ones where you can take a bit of time and get it right.
Right.
But that doesn't make for great radio, just me umming and ahhing for
it's
a minute.
Okay.
And
let's go
the sound
some
of a ticking
of
clock in the background.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, okay. It was possibly okay.
Come on, then. Let's go through
right,
some of the other ones.
Little girls do it with a rope. Van Halen does it with a song. What is it?
Jump.
Yeah, very good.
What is the type of engine and is also a tomato cocktail juice? V8. Which planet in our solar system is not named after a Greek or Roman figure? The answer is Earth.
Yes.
Trick question there, mate. Trick question.
No, that was terrible. Fell right into your dirty trap.
It has five letters. It is used by a carpenter, a sergeant, and a dentist. What is it? Drill. And finally, what do you call that shattering sound which accompanies breaking the sound barrier? Sonic boom.
All right, so let's have one of these.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Matt Bellotti scored 20 points.
Wow. All
right. Well done, dude.
Wow.
Okay, smart ass.
Smarter than Ross?
How do we go about disqualifying Sean Garza?
Is that what's
going to happen for you? Because I believe he's
points.
On
six
the...
Six more points.
Yeah, but if he's disqualified, presume one.
No, there's someone else, 21, I think.
Yes, they're 24.
Yeah.
That's a fantastic effort from Sean and whoever was 24 to get that.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, he was just like, boom, boom, straight out.
Yeah.
Right, we've got 44 seconds to get out all of our facts.
Wow.
Who wants to go first?
You guys can
44
go.
Seconds, guys, come on.
Okay, sure. So on the very day that Spurs lost their place to Arsenal in the first division, the club's pet parrot collapsed and died. Now, the parrot had been a gift from a ship's captain as the team returned from a 1908 tour of Argentina and Uruguay. Now, some say the phrase, as sick as a parrot, originated from here.
Do we still have time for the rest?
I'm going to skip something, so yes.
Excuse me?
It's a brilliant fact.
Thank you, Matt.
And I know you've done that especially for me.
This is for you.
I'm so honoured as a Spurs fan to get that fact. And the other thing is that is the start of Arsenal's great corruption, because they had a very corrupt chairman then called Henry Norris. Arsenal finished sixth that year. They had no right. There was no playoffs. They shouldn't have been promoted then, and yet they were promoted because this chairman guy managed to get his evil way with the FA at the time. So it's probably best we let me just.
This is something stuck in your craw, is it?
All absolutely. Yeah, it's nearly 100 years ago, and I've still not got over it yet.
All right. In the 1980s, an Australian beer company had to change the design of their bottle. So a species of beetle would stop trying to mate with them. Yes. These bottles were called stubbies. We all know what they are. It was the brand was called Emu Beer. Technically, this wouldn't be the first time that empty beer bottles led to inappropriate coupling.
Anyway,
David, what have you got?
The British coined the term soccer in the late 1800s, not America.
Yeah, it's shortened for association football.
Yeah. I think I just blew a few people's minds, though.
You probably did. I think it's probably
an American phrase. And yeah, last, again, on the football theme, apologies, it has gone very football-y, but in the week that Wayne Rooney is now England's leading goal scorer of all time, he matched Bobby Charlton's record against San Marino this week. And so my fact is that the most serene republic of San Marino is in fact twinned with the British seaside town of Bognor Regis, which couldn't be less glamorous. And it's the only country to be twinned. Everywhere else is towns, and San Marino is an entire country, and it's twinned with Bognor Regis, which is actually twice its size. So there you go.
Wonderful. Uh-huh. Matthew, thank you very much for joining us here.
Please,
in the
thank
show.
You so much for
thank
having
you.
Me. It's been great.
Congratulations on doing so well on Smarty Pants. Do come back. I'm sure Ross will be like,
yeah. Loved it.
Anyway, you have been listening to That Time of Night here on BFM 89.9. Everybody say goodnight.
Goodnight.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.